Julie's injustice. Ooh. I know. I got you last week, and who wanted to be a rich man? So who believes in the police force? Who believes in the military? Who stands behind our military and our police force? Who wants protection from the bad guys? Wesley and Elise and Lily and I play bad guys. So they jump up in the bed, and we all pull our covers over our head and say, "Bad guys!" Then we look out and we shoot them. And we hide. It's a good game, you know. Build strength of character. So, what a joy. Yesterday, I had the opportunity of watching Wesley, who just was born yesterday, it seems like, play his first T-ball baseball game. It was such an awesome thing to see him grow and now become that. And even as thrilling as that, it wasn't, I'm going to cry thinking about this. Even about 3 days ago, my little granddaughter took her first steps as she walked to her mother, and then she also walked to me. So I sang, "Walk like a man." No, I didn't. But it was good to see. I mean, what a joy to watch these young people grow. It's wonderful, but it's still sad to see them grow up. And we always say, I just hope they never lose their innocence. What a joy to have these young people. But back to the thought I had before, as far as justice and the police force, and I mean, who believes that you should punish the bad guys? That's fewer hands up there. All right, who believes in the criminal justice system? I want you to answer these things. Think about this in your mind. And so we believe that the perpetrator, I learned that word perpetrator, should be punished for the things that they do. And maybe going into prison has a dual effect, one for rehabilitation, or else just get them out of the way. But who here could be a judge to sentence somebody to prison? Who could do that? None of you? One guy can sentence them. I can sentence them to prison. I have no problem with that. Let me ask you this. I want you to everybody raise their hand. Who could sentence a guy to prison? A few more. All right. Who could sentence a man to life imprisonment? Bill's going to do it. A couple more. Oh, Mike's done everything. He's ready for him. Who could sentence him to the death penalty? Now, I know that's a question. As a Christian, do we believe in the death penalty? I will tell you there is scriptural basis for this. When Noah came off the ark, the Bible said that God gave him the law that if a man was to take another man's life, by man should his life be taken. So if you are against the death penalty on the basis that the Bible preaches love, love without justice is nothing. I believe in justice. So, but it's still a tough question to say who could sentence him to the death penalty. And I want to take you a little further than that. If you were one of those that could sentence him to the death penalty for a very heinous crime, who of you would be able to pull the lever? That's a tough one. That's a tough one, to pull the lever to enact that. And I asked Lillian this day, the other day. I said, you know, what would that entail, you know, giving somebody the death penalty and being the one to pull the lever? If in fact they were to pull a lever, you would want that person to do that. It's like Christ saying, "He is without sin, cast the first stone." But that has nothing to do with the fact that justice should be executed. But many of us have difficulties. And wherein does your difficulty lie? Because you think it's not just? If you agree with the death penalty, that's one thing. If you don't agree with it, still you believe in justice. Amen? But it's difficult maybe to say how to execute that justice. And I know that I would have a very difficult time if I was the one called upon to pull the lever to end this man's life, even though maybe he deserved it. What about some kind of a mass murderer that raped and pillaged and killed children and did the most heinous things you can imagine? This person certainly deserves to be moved out of society. somehow, some way, either through life imprisonment, the death penalty, something that would get them off the street, so to speak. And I think about that. The reason I'm saying this today is because I would like to speak for a couple moments about the ultimate justice, the ultimate thought of justice. And the ultimate thought of justice, I didn't want to joke about this too much, but it's used, this word is used often in inappropriate ways, that they, who the, what the, how the. I'd like to mention hell. And for you to think about hell this day, and maybe all you're going, thank God I'm not going there, but maybe you are. Not a laughing matter, is it? Not a laughing matter. That greatest judgment that we could think of that will be enacted will be that judgment against unrepentant, unbelieving sinners. And it's going to be enacted. It's going to be a punishment that will happen. And when I consider hell, I want to tell you what I'm basing this on. I'm basing my understanding of hell on the teachings of the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is where I'm taking my assumption from. And I, when you think of justice, I imagine many of you that couldn't pull the handle to put a man to death are not basing that, again, on justice. You're basing that on your emotions. Your emotions come into play very much. I just couldn't bring myself to do that. Why? Because you don't want to see justice enacted? No, because it's an emotional strain to think about that and hoping that I'm doing the right thing. But when I ask you about the police force, who would want the police force to stop the bad guys? Yes, you would. Who would want our military to stand in the way of a hostile takeover from this country? Yes, you would. And maybe you just haven't thought about it that much. And maybe you haven't thought about hell that much. But you got to think about hell. You got to think about what hell entails. I want to think about hell under the guise and the teachings that I said of the resurrected Jesus Christ, the Jesus who died, rose again from the dead, so that people would, so that hell-bent sinners would have a way of escaping hell. Jesus Christ came for that reason, so that we would be taken out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Who wants to be in the kingdom of light? Who wants to be in the kingdom of darkness? No one really does. I can't imagine that. I'm not making a plea for the doctrines of hell so much as I'm making a plea that you trust the word of God, the infallible word of God, and which states that there is a place of torment. The Bible states that there is a place of torment for the unbelieving, wicked world. And I don't want to emphasize the agonies of hell without emphasizing the glories of the truth of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to think about. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ is the antidote, the elixir, the preserver of the righteous, so that they are not taken into that place of agony. I'm here to contend for the gospel of the salvation that is wrought through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm here to contend for repentance towards God. I'm here to contend for a new birth. I'm here to contend for a new heaven and a new earth where indwelleth righteousness. But that does not negate the fact of hell. What a compassionate, loving God send anyone to hell. Whoa! I thought God is love. Would a compassionate, loving God actually send somebody to hell? Some people say that this is our hell now. You ain't seen nothing yet if you think this is hell. I don't think that anybody would consciously want to go to hell? Anybody here want to go to hell? No takers? No, I don't think anybody, even wicked people, really want to go to hell. But what they do choose is they want to live in their sin and in unbelief rather than in God. So they've not chosen hell, but they've chosen sin. They've chosen unbelief. Do you think that the drug addict really wants to be addicted? No, he just wants the pleasure of the high. Do you think the alcoholic wants to be a drunkard on the ground, vomiting and throwing up? No, he just wants the high. Or a person that smokes, do you think they want cancer? No, they just want to smoke. But there are repercussions. The repercussion for sin and unbelief in the ultimate is hell, is separation from God. And it's a horrid thing to think about that. What would you do? What would you do if you were God to keep people from going to hell? Because I'd have a thought. If we say that God does not send people to hell, in some ways that's true, but in other ways God does send them to hell because he will enact the judgment. He is the judge, and he will pass the sentence, and it will be executed. The Bible says, don't fear him that can destroy your body, but fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. You know who that is? That's God Almighty. That's the loving God. But what would you do? To what lengths would you go to keep somebody from going to hell? Do you think it would be good of you to do something to keep somebody from going to hell? You think it's bad? Who wants people to go to hell? Who doesn't want people to go to hell? Would you do something to keep them from going to hell? What? What would you do? What would you do? Tell them about Jesus. How many kept somebody from going to hell this week? Joyce did. Oh, Debbie did. All right. Well, that's good. That's the least you could do. How about would you be willing to die to keep somebody from going to hell? Would you be able to take your child maybe and lay him down and stab him through the heart? Would you be able to do that? Let's just slam your child down. Let's take Wesley or Elise or Adeline and kill them if that was the elixir to keep them from going to hell, but that's what God Almighty did. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God sent him. Jesus came and died so that people wouldn't go to hell. And the Holy Spirit has been sent to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment so that they won't go to hell, but that they'll have eternity with Jesus Christ. I don't want to say that God sends them to hell. Justice sends them to hell. People don't want to go to hell. But they go to hell because they wanted to sin and they wanted to live in unbelief. Romans says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, the Bible says. The Bible says that the unbelievers, whether it's the heathen in Africa or the heathen in America, are without excuse. When you say, well, he doesn't deserve to go to hell, if God is a compassionate, loving God, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And so God, If you don't like to say that God will send you to hell, God will allow you to go there if you choose not to accept what he has given in the person of Jesus Christ. I said, what would the loving God do? He's done it. He has sent his son, Jesus Christ. Wow. So many cults and religions now are preaching another way to escape hell. But there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation in hell. Hell is a real place. You know, some people think that maybe there's going to be, as I said, we've talked a little bit about this on Wednesday. That's what's really stirred my heart to think about this, because it almost becomes like maybe a lesson rather than a revelation. I don't want you to think about this. Oh, so what did he talk? Oh, he talked about hell today, you know. Let's have roast beef. You know, this is serious. Hell is serious. This is scary. This is a scary thing to think about hell. You know, everyone is going to exist throughout eternity, either in heaven or hell. Not according to me, not according to my persuasion. I don't want to be persuaded anything about hell. I don't even like the thought of it. But it's a fact. If you jump off the cliff, you'll hit the bottom. That's a fact. And so, Daniel 12:2, I looked up some good scriptures, said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn may be righteous as the stars forever and ever. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. The soul does not cease to exist. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Our destiny is determined by what we do with Christ in this life. It is given unto man once to be saved, and after that, the judgment. Given to man once to be saved. Imagine that. Heaven and hell are determined by what a person's attitude or commitment or life has been given to Christ, given to Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. I love this. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Christ said. And, you know, about hell, hell wasn't meant for humanity. It wasn't meant at all for humanity. Who's hell meant for? Satan and his demons. In Revelation 19:20, it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. God has provided hell for Satan, the beast, the false prophet. And unfortunately now, hell has opened its mouth wide to receive those that have rejected Jesus Christ. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, the murderers and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters and the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is that place of torment. It says in Matthew 13:50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And in Mark 9, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And then again in Revelation 14:10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. When I think about this, my emotions rise because I don't want to see people consigned to hell. But when I read the word of God, it says that hell is a reality. And we don't want anyone to go there. We want them to have eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ. But people, because of their emotional state, want to come up with some other views. They're thinking maybe after a person dies, they're dead and buried, that you could pray them out of hell. Ain't going to happen. Not according to the Bible, where it's given a man once to die and after that the judgment. Maybe they'll get a second chance. But there is no second chance. Once you've left this world, there is the judgment. Some people would love to think that everybody is going to get saved. It's called universalism. And okay, it doesn't matter if you don't believe of Jesus' death on the cross. Come on into heaven. Isn't going to happen. If you reject Christ, you turn away from him, and you've trodden underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ as an unworthy thing, you will not find a place in eternity according to the word. Some people have a fond belief in what they call annihilationism, where they believe that the soul will just cease to exist. But that's an erroneous doctrine in itself. In John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil into the resurrection of damnation. The soul will never cease to be. It will always be. It will either be in eternal bliss with Christ or eternal separation in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Again, I told you in the beginning that what I base this on is the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And the reason I mentioned the resurrection is because I always come back to that fact that if someone raises from the dead into a brand new life, the firstborn of all creatures and the firstborn in the new creation, then we should listen to what he has to say. Now listen to Christ on the subject of hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out, cast it forth from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, Christ didn't want you to cut off body parts, because if you cut off your hands, your head, and every other part of your body that maybe caused you to sin, the sin would still be in you. You have a corrupt nature. But he's saying if there was a way to keep from going to that place of hell, then you should take it. There is a way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given to him that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was giving an expression of hell is separation from all that is holy. This is Jesus. And in hell, this is the rich man and Lazarus. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and says to Abraham, afar off, and he sees Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger into the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf, so that they which would pass from hence to cannot, neither can they pass to us that have come from thence. He said, For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they should come into this place of torment. Christ is showing that there was a place of torment, and once a person has been consigned to that place, there is no comfort, there is no restoration, there is eternal suffering. Paul speaks on this in 2 Thessalonians 1. Seeing it is a righteous thing for God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There is coming a reckoning, and no one wants to be found on the wrong side of that. In Revelation 14, I want to go to Peter first. Peter said, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, he is showing that there is a hell and a place of torment. And Jude also says, And the angels was kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness, under the judgment of that great day. There will be a judgment of the good and the wicked. And the good will have eternal life. And the wicked that have chosen not to accept Christ as their Savior will be cast into hell with eternal damnation. And now I go to Revelation, which is so dramatic in its presentation. Listen to this. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Revelation 21. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall find their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. What an awful place. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the death which was in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank God that I'm not going there. I believe that people should be one to salvation by the truth of the love of Christ. But I also believe that hell is a fearful place. I never wanted to preach a gospel of fear. I only say this to let you know that it is a heinous place, an evil place, an awful place. It is a real place. It is a place that will last for eternity. Emotionally, I cannot stand this. But because of Jesus Christ who preached it and the word of God which is infallible, I receive the truth of this and I have made my peace with Jesus Christ, that I have eternal life. So I ask you this day, are any of you in a place where you are fearful that maybe you have not made your peace with Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Savior, and that at this very moment you may be in jeopardy of hell itself. In fact, if you have not asked Christ into your life to pay for your sins, then you're going to be judged under the book of works because your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, trust him as the only means of salvation, then your book is penned in the Lamb's book of life. What a joy to be in the Lamb's book of life. I am a desperate preacher preaching to desperate people because our only hope is Jesus Christ. That is our only hope. There is no other hope. And so I ask you this day, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you done that which Christ has asked you to do, has exhorted you to do, which the Holy Spirit is convicting you to do? Receive him now before it is too late, before the time passes. Today is the day of salvation. You need Christ into your heart. Is there anyone out there that needs Jesus Christ in their heart that has not accepted him yet? If you haven't, what you need to do is say, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself, but I believe you died for me so that I would not be consigned to hell. You died for me so that I might have eternal life with you. You died for me that I might be in the new heaven and new earth for eternity with you. That is the reason Christ came and died. If you've not received that, receive that now in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive what he has done for you. And again, you raise your hands that you would do whatever it took to be able to save people from eternal damnation. Again, I plead to you that you may be the only heaven that anyone ever sees. You may be the only figure of Christ that is ever presented to them. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Take the gospel of Jesus Christ as a witness for what he has done. Or else it shows you have no compassion for people that are on their way to hell. Your mouth should be an open clarion trumpet to call everyone from their hell-bent way into a new direction in Jesus Christ. Won't you do that? That's the least we could do. Let us pray. Lord God, we give our hearts again to you. We rejoice in you, Lord God. And we rejoice in the God of